Hi, this is Roger Green, host of the Surfing the Mesh Tsunami podcast. This week, we are offering three conversations from episode 14. Our episode remembering Stephen Harrison with Naeem Alkhouri, Manal Abdelmalek, Joern Schattenberg, and Louise Campbell. Plus, from The Vault, the interview Louise and I conducted with Stephen as part of our 2022 wrap-up series. Unlike our usual introductions, this week, I will mention the specific question the panelists answered about Stephen, and then simply invite you to listen to the interview to hear our answers. For this first conversation, I asked each panelist, including me, to share a special memory with or impression of Stephen. Not surprisingly, no one stopped at just one memory or impression. Stephen Harrison was one of the most unique individuals I've ever had the pleasure to know and work with. These conversations touch on a small sample of what made Stephen, Stephen. So just sit back, listen, learn, absorb, celebrate his life. And when you're done, check out and perhaps contribute to the memorial page on our LinkedIn discussion group.
This conversation from Surfing the MASH Tsunami is sponsored by Madrigal Pharmaceuticals in memory of our colleague, Dr. Stephen Harrison.
What I would like to do this week is I would do groundbreakers the way we did it last week, which is we didn't really do a groundbreaker, but what we did is we asked everybody who was on the podcast to share one special memory of Stephen. So, Louise, I think you and I probably have at least one more left, and I'd like to ask each of you to share one. Brave one, go first.
Naeem Alkhouri.
You know, I'll go first, Roger. Stephen was more than just a mentor. He was really a dear friend and a role model and someone that I really wanted to be like. And, you know, that's a big deal in life when you find your role model and the person that inspires you to do good things. So it's been really a devastating period for all of us, I think, in the MASH field. I'll tell you my story with Stephen. I knew of Stephen, of course. He was key opinion leader since I was a fellow and a junior faculty, but I really didn't meet him until 2017. I met him at the EASL meeting. I think that was in Amsterdam. At the time, I just moved to San Antonio, Texas from the Cleveland Clinic, and one to introduce myself to Stephen. And you know Stephen, but the minute I said, hey, I'm Naeem Alkhouri, I'm just moving to San Antonio, I joined the group across the street. He's like, well, you made the wrong decision and you should have joined me and this is not a good move for you. I'm like, you know what, Stephen, I respect that, but I really, you know, admire you and I want to work with you and I hope you give me an opportunity to do this in San Antonio. And Stephen really delivered and he's like, fine, you know, we can work together and I've seen some of your work. I think you're a good guy. We started collaborating. We published the paper on the prevalence in the middle-aged cohort in San Antonio. He started this work even before I moved there. He was gracious enough to let me write the paper and we edited it together and, published in the Journal of Hepatology showing, very high prevalence of MASL, but also MASH, 14% in that population. And then we also published the phase 2B study with Madrigal in the Lancet. That was my first Lancet paper. Stephen was the lead author. After that, it was time for me to move from San Antonio to Arizona. And I loved the job in Arizona. I loved the team. I thought it was a good move for me, but I was really worried about my academic output and the fact that it's going to slow down significantly because it wasn't an academic program. And I still remember having a conversation with Stephen that, you know, can you support me and can we continue to work together on academic stuff? And he's like, go for it. And I promise you that you will not slow down. And he delivered again. And we published the paper in Nature Medicine about, challenges and clinical trials in the MASH drug development field. In Arizona, we got integrated also with the Clinical Research Network. I worked with Stephen on publishing the textbook on MASL and MASH. We just published in 2023. He became part of the Desert Liver Conference, and it's still like a nightmare, a bad dream that he's no longer with us, but he was just in Arizona back in March for the Desert Liver Conference, and we actually started planning for the next one in 2025. So this is just briefly, my story with Stephen and some of the memories that we share together.
Thanks, Naeem. Thanks for getting us rolling. Joern, Manal, one of you want to go next?
Joern Schattenberg.
Let me add a little bit. I'm touched by what Naeem says, and just the memory makes me feel sad again. And I can tell a story that's quite similar of Naeem's, because what Stephen at the heart was really somebody who enabled others. I think he took a lot of energy and his positive thoughts and went to support younger people in the field. And he did that to a good extent with me. As a young clinician scientist from Germany, not a lot of clinical trials had been running successfully in Germany. I think it was Stephen that supported myself being accepted as clinical investigator by some of the companies that then came to me and wanted to do clinical trials. And I think it was, in the end, him speaking and supporting this that I'm actually at a point where I was able to do clinical trials. We're doing it today. So that, went on. He became part of our research initiatives in Europe, the Litmus Consortium, in which he led the imaging work package together with a good colleague and through his affiliation with Oxford. So at multiple levels, and again, whenever I think of Stephen, I feel he was somebody enabling younger colleagues and people that have since then moved on to define their own research field. And this is, I think, very thankful for that to him and very sad again on this turn.
Yeah, Manal
Abdelmalek.
Wow, I have so many memories. I don't know which one to pick from. The one that sticks out most in my mind is the very first time ever I met Stephen. And we were young. We were both in our fellowships. He was at St. Louis University and I was at the Mayo Clinic. And it was in the late 1990s. And we had posters side by side at the AASLD meeting on NAFLD and NASH. And at that time, there must have been a handful of us and nobody was interested. They had us all the way back in the very back corner of the conference poster session, and the hall was buzzing with everybody interested in hepatitis C and the new therapies with interferon and ribavirin and viral clearance. And the handful of us that were standing back in the far corner of the poster hall started joking around about whether what we had up had any significance or not. And Stephen was standing right next to me and he was decked in his military attire and uniform, and he looked dashing and debonair and completely in control of the situation as if he was waiting for the Attorney General to come by and ask him questions. And so when we realized that we're working in a very new area, he turned around and he said, "Well, tell me about your poster. Who are you and where are you from?" And immediately wanted to know what everybody was working on, which speaks to his very collaborative and open and welcoming nature. And so we had our exchange, asked him about his and where he was from, and he said, "Oh, I'm in St. Louis, which is my hometown." So we immediately had a connection there. And what was incredibly apparent to me was his wit at the time, because when he asked me where I was from, I said, "Rochester, Minnesota." And all he could say was, "I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you about that, but apparently you love your work." And he said, "You know, guys," he turned to all of us in this little pod of posters. He goes, "This is going to be big someday. This is going to be really big someday. There's so much to do. We are in on the ground and we're going to grow this field." I was kind of struck by his boldness, his vision, his demeanor, his welcoming nature, his openness, and his spirit of collaboration even then. But our paths continued to cross, both of us in clinical research over 25, 30 years, and we kept pace with each other. And along the years, there was no doubt that he was going to be a pioneer. There was no doubt he was going to be a friend. There was no doubt he was going to be a collaborator. And there was no doubt he was going to shake things up. Because one thing about Stephen is he was always comfortable and confident with who he was, his given mission. And he was always a very passionate, driven, ambitious, and led a very purpose-driven life, but with such enthusiasm that you could not stand with him, beside him, and embrace working with him. And he, over the years, at every AASLD meeting I recall, wasn't just this passionate about his career, he was this passionate about his family, his children, his daughter, because he would escape the liver meeting whenever it fell on Anna Lauren's birthday, and he would disappear for about 24 to 36 hours and resurrect again, which speaks to the fact that there was nothing in his life he wasn't passionate about. And that always struck me of Stephen. I get a little emotional now talking about him because I will dearly, dearly miss him. But he was a true gentleman in his own right and almost a Superman in doing all he was able to do on all fronts in the capacity that he was able to do it and yet be a husband, a father, a friend, a colleague, a mentor, an innovator, a pioneer.
Thanks, Manal. Louise?
Louise Campbell.
Cool. How do I follow that? Manal nailed it. No. After the guys, but I got introduced to Stephen, obviously, through the podcast. I didn't know who Stephen Harrison was before. I used to listen to the podcast before I joined, but I think I get that sense that everybody shared of how welcoming he was and collaborative. And he was very supportive of nurses, so much so he fronted up the episode that I did that was just nurses, so that was Stephen against the nurses. He was brave enough to join that episode and fully supportive of how nurse specialists, allied health, can strengthen the field of steatotic liver disease and how we can take it forward. He was always fun. And as Manal and everybody said, he lived his life at a pace, and how you can do that all of the time. And the funniest bit is you would try and ask Stephen to stay on the podcast for 1 second longer to allow his hit to upload, and he'd gone. Speedy Gonzales. He was straight off as soon as you said we're finished. And that always made me laugh because he really was. It was like, and he'd gone. But I can't thank him enough for being as collaborative and supportive to his nursing and allied health colleagues, sharing in his successes, helping direct. And it's not that all through the field. And I think he sets a really good example. And he's certainly, with you and the others, when they started the podcast, innovative in also just trying to keep fatty liver at the front through a pandemic, having a conversation and keeping people aware. And I think we've just ticked over 1,000 followers on Surfing the Nash. Yes. On LinkedIn.
Yeah, on LinkedIn, we just went over 1,000 last weekend. Yep.
Yep. So he was very instrumental in trying to keep a disease whilst there's a pandemic going on. So just that innovation that you guys came up with for that. And I suppose I just gate crashed by accident. And I'm sitting here in Perth late at night still doing this and enjoying what he and you set out to do with this.
So this is Stephen. This isn't what we set out to do. First of all, I said this last week that I met Stephen at NASHtech 2019, the first time I touched this space. And what struck me was there was this big guy who he didn't quite look like a stork, but he was a size and he used his arms in ways that could have worked like a stork. And 180 people and very excited. 90% of the energy in the room seemed like it felt like it came out of one guy, popping up, popping down to the stage, back from the stage, asking questions, for all, just amazing energy level. And Yasmin Rahimi, who invited me to speak there, calls me the next week and says, you know, Stephen Harrison would like to have a call with you because he figured you guys could do something together. And that was great. And we flirted with a couple of things that didn't happen. And then came 2020. I decided it's time to get rid of my marketing research business. Manal, actually, the other part of this particular transition, says to me, you know, if you're going to do that, why don't you spend some time on this disease? We could use you. And I said, great. But I still didn't know what that meant. And then the pandemic happened. And I get a call from Stephen 3 weeks later. It was probably the most concerned phone call I've ever gotten from him. People are thinking they have to cancel the clinical trials and they don't. And they don't know it. And I don't know how to get that message out. So we kicked around some stuff for about 20 minutes. And I said, you know, we could do a podcast. And he said, what do you know about podcasts? I said, you could take a thimble, you could stick your pinky in it. The air that's left knows more about podcasts than I do, but this can't be that hard. So we agreed it wasn't that hard. And we decided we were going to do 4 episodes, each on a specific topic, except that after the first episode, we started getting phone call emails from patients who had nowhere to turn for advice and realized we had to keep going. And that's kind of how we got here. The cool thing about Stephen is that what he liked to hear about this podcast more than anything else was every time we broke through to get a number one rating in a new country. And these were not necessarily big countries. Okay. I mean, Slovenia kind of came first. No, actually, North Macedonia came first. I'm sorry. Slovenia came second. But he just loved that stuff. He loved knowing that we were having an impact. He talked a lot, as he did through his life, about making a big fat dent in fatty liver disease. And this just became a different facet of how to do that from everything else he's doing. When I think back on how much Stephen gave to how many people, how many hours a day, every week of the year. Because you're right. I mean, if it wasn't the field, it was his family. If it wasn't his family, it was the church. I mean, those of us who were in San Antonio last week, I think, learned plenty about that. He just seemed like a perpetual energy machine. And the idea that that energy would give out is just shocking, stunning. I think stunning is probably the word for me. What a remarkable guy, and how much he got done in how short a period of time.
And now, back to Roger.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. If you have any questions or comments about the content of this conversation or the entire episode, please put them in the review section of the page which you downloaded this conversation, or send an email to questions at surfingmash.com. If you would wish to write a comment on Stephen's memorial page, you can find it on the Surfing Mash website, and I believe the instructions will guide you through the process. Next week, we will cover the SLD Think Tank 2024 with co-hosts Jorn Schottenberg and Jeff Lazarus, and also participants Majid Deal and Mike Patel. Until then, stay safe, surf on, see you on the podcast. Celebrate life. Bye-bye now.
This conversation from Surfing the Mash Tsunami is sponsored by Madrigal Pharmaceuticals in memory of our colleague, Dr. Stephen Harrison.